accepted. Thank you, honorable members. We will, without any waste of time, I would request officials, as you speak later on, that you then introduce yourself so that we recover on time, because we only have until 12:30 today. It's sometimes this meeting tends to be quite long. We first received a if I may just check, I know Mpumalanga is here. Led by the MEC and Eastern Cape, Northwest. We have Northwest here? No. They're not here. National Department. Who's leading the team?
DG.
The DG. Thank you, sir. And National Treasury, Mr. Sishi. Yeah, all right. Thank you very much, Mr. Sishi. Can you then take us through your report?
Revenue Act that was passed by this House.
income at the end of March is that provinces spent 537.5 million or 87.2% of the grant, with the exception of KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape and Western Cape, and perhaps Gauteng, given the small amount there. The rest of the provinces in the country underspent the grant by, in some cases, some margin. For instance, the Eastern Cape underspent by just under 23 million rands, or 20% of the adjusted budget, so quite substantial under expenditure there. What's interesting about the Eastern Cape is that they did accelerate their expenditure quite a bit compared to the previous year, hence the last column, which shows a year-on-year growth of 91.4% compared to the previous year. However, they still could not manage to spend a significant portion of their grant, 20%, there at the end of the year. A number of provinces improved on expenditure, with the exception of Limpopo, which spent 3.2% lower than it did in the previous year and underspent by just under 31 million rand, and Mpumalanga, which is spending 12% lower than it did in the previous financial year and underspent by 4 million rand. The Northwest province also had difficulties with spending its full allocation, although they improved year on year from 23.7%. Percent. Members will be aware Northwest was here at this committee last year because of poor expenditure. They've improved a little bit, but unfortunately they still underspent by 25% of the budget, which is a substantial amount. So those are the numbers in brief with respect to where provinces are on the expenditure. What we've done as well in the next slide is we provide information with respect to the performance report that we received through the National Department of Arts and Culture with respect to this grant for the fourth quarter and the total year 2011-12. In summary, basically, there was the number of library materials that were purchased. There was a target for the year of 500,000 exactly. And the actual achievement was 343,887. So clearly in terms of the purchasing of material, provinces didn't meet their own targets. So there was a falling short there. And that explains quite a bit of the under expenditure, because it obviously means that people didn't buy the material that they were supposed to buy to the extent and quantity they were supposed to buy it. The same is true in respect of the number of libraries provided with new furniture. What's interesting with that particular measure is that in the fourth quarter, as you can see, for the quarter, provinces exceeded their target. The target was 19 and the actual was 34. But for the year, they very much underachieved in terms of the target. Less than half, in fact, was achieved. And what this suggests is, and some of the others we see a trend as well, what this suggests basically is that, once again, provinces struggle to move their programs in the first two quarters of the financial year. In the final quarter of the year, there is this big rush to perform, or the performance only comes through in the final quarter of the financial year. So, you know, of the 42 libraries provided with new furniture in the whole year, 34 were in the fourth quarter alone. So clearly, you know, it is this problem that, that people, for whatever reason, appear to simply not be ready to move by the time April arrives, the start of the financial year, and for that matter, the second quarter. So it takes quite a while for the operations of some departments to get going. In terms of infrastructure, the number of new libraries built, the target for the quarter, interestingly enough, that was set, and these are targets that were that are included in the business plan that are given to us at the start of the financial year. The target was 20, half of that was built for the year, 25, 13 of which were built during the whole year. again, a similar sort of trend that we see there out of the 13 that were completed in the whole year, 10 were in the fourth quarter alone. Number of libraries upgraded and maintained, and the target there, 61 for the fourth quarter, 37 in terms of actuals, and you can see there that that is the vast majority of what actually was planned for the whole year. And then finally, in terms of the number of container libraries that were delivered, there was also an underperformance there. There was overperformance in the quarter, but underperformance for the year, reflecting the trend which I have just outlined earlier. So the reasons that we have asked provinces and the National Department to give us for why both the spending and the performance is what it is are there on that slide. The reasons that we're given, firstly, are related to delays from the suppliers with the deliveries not being made on time. But the question, and that's the last part of that sentence that we put in, is to ask whether orders placed on time. So obviously, that one is quite unclear. Often we find in many programs, not just in this one, but across government, people will say from a department there was a delay, the supplier delivered something late. But then why did the supplier deliver it late? Did you order it on time? Did you go through your processes efficiently, etc.? And then the second reason, of course, that was given is in respect of internal delays in supply chain management. We previously pointed out to this committee, as well as in our recent meetings with the national departments and provinces, that this type of reason to say that there was a delay internally is just another way of trying to say that the internal operational management of the department is not working properly, because that's the only reason why there would be an internal delay. The internal operations, the people internally in the department are not moving fast enough with respect to those particular functions. There has been an issue raised around public works leading to the delays in the construction and the maintenance and upgrading of libraries, that public works departments and provinces are slow, that they have capacity difficulties, etc., etc., and this is why we see problems in a number of the provinces. I'm sure the provinces themselves will provide more details in their own feedback. There has been an issue raised, and this is something that we have started discussing with the National Department about whether or not some of the targets that are being set are credible. It is true that people should obviously strive to meet their targets, but it is also important to note the fact that when you're setting your target, you must set a credible target. It must be a target that makes sense compared to what you have been able to do before, and compared, or rather, in terms of your capacity that you have to deliver. There are concerns around whether or not the targets are actually credible that are being set in the business plan. And then finally, the poor performance by suppliers, and I think this was in the Northwest, where there was a supplier where there's now legal action because the supplier simply really just failed to meet the contractual obligation and was really violating the agreement with Northwest Province, and they've had difficulties as a result of that. But those basically are the challenges that have been outlined in respect to the performance of the grant, explaining why the grant is underspent by the amount that it has, as reflected in the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Tishi. Honourable members, any questions for clarity on the report? I will allow provinces also to, in a situation where there's a difference in terms of figures, to raise your questions at this point. Honorable DePierre, Honorable Lis, and Honorable Becker.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for Mr. Sisi for his presentation. As we look at page 1, spending by the department in Limpopo, it's underspending of 30.9 million rand. I don't see Limpopo here today. To Mr. Sisi, what was the reason Limpopo underspent in that fashion? What did I tell you? And then looking at page 4, Chapas, and the key challenges, it's good to see noted, but I think there needs another insertion here is to address the key challenges. What is our solutions? So if it's not captured here, then our committee will have to come up with the solution. Referring to the type of libraries in the Northern Cape, specific in the very rural areas, they make use of a prefab structure, a library, especially at the schools. It's very effective. It's very light, and I think it's in terms of cost, it's also cheaper. So that's also a way to go than to go and build a library out of bricks. Just a proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Sisi and I had a little conversation when I walked in, and my memory failed me a little bit, but those of you as old as I am will remember the program called Men from the Ministry, and there was a number one and a number two, and at our last meeting there were two Sisis, and so I'm not sure whether Mr. Sisi is number one or number two, but in today's context you're number one. In terms of the rollovers, thank you for pointing out that these figures included rollovers. Have you any idea which of the provinces had rollovers? Because it might indicate why they underspent if they had too much money rolled over. The real question here, and it came up in our visit to North West, and I'm sure the chair which will raise it because it's his province, was the question of whether the money has actually been spent or simply transferred to another sphere of government. The minister has written a letter to the chair of the committee indicating that he's recommended that the situation must be changed and provinces must do their own implementation where municipalities are failing them. I'm a bit disappointed in the lack of robustness in that, but nevertheless that is a concern. You're reporting quite good spending patterns in the two provinces that are here today now, compared with history. But what assurance have we got that the money actually, that the libraries are there, and whatever the money is supposed to have been spent on, actually exists on the ground? I take your point with regard to credible targets, because if you look at the targets, you went through them line by line and the actual deliverables. But the targets are very strange. You've got a quarter target, which a fourth quarter target, which almost equals the annual target in two cases, in two lines. Now, that may well be the case that you're building a library and you'll complete it in the fourth quarter, but your spending pattern will be over all four quarters. So, you know, there might not be a very good link between the actual outcome with the spending pattern, because once you lay the foundations, you've got to pay, you know, and you spend the money, but you only complete it in the fourth quarter. Then I understand that. Then it makes absolute sense. Again, going back to credible targets, if that is a problem, what would National Treasury's view be with regard to reduced targets and consequential reduction in grant amounts? Could those provinces who are spending well take up those grants, or would it simply go back into general funds for spending on ETOL? That was a pretty much tongue-in-cheek. You don't need to comment on that one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Honourable Chair, I like to know what criteria are being used to get to these amounts, that there's such a great difference between the different provinces. It's not population, it must be something else. How do they get to these amounts? The second thing I like to mention is these key challenges. This is all, if you read it through, it's all bad management, and what are being done to rectify this?
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Any questions from provinces?
Nothing.
Okay. I think you can respond, Mr. Sishi, but I would want the DG from the National Department to also note, because I think as to what is it that is being done to correct some of the things, we'll find a better expression from his report. We'll be interested to know what is that, but you can respond to questions raised now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. There are a couple of questions that I think a couple of the members asked that are quite similar, so I'll answer them in turn. But firstly, on the question from Honorable De Beer with respect to Limpopo, obviously Limpopo has gone through an unusual year with 5 departments being placed under Section 100 at the same time, including the Treasury of Limpopo Province, and a number of, accounting officers, etc., being replaced by administrators and all this. Without commenting much further about, the details of that, I think it is fair to say that, during the course of the period after December and in January, there were some uncertainties from some people about what should happen, etc., and I can understand that. That might have influenced the spending, but I do think that there are instances, and I suppose it's a nuanced answer I'm giving you, and to say that there are instances where people just use the Section 100 as an excuse, because the plans are there, the business plan was submitted, there should be no reason why, if you've got a credible plan in place and you've got a budget that's been allocated, you can't continue implementing your program. And certainly the Department of, I think in Limpopo it's called something like Sport, Art and Recreation, in that province, was not one of the ones under administration, so they should have continued. But that is what a lot of departments tend to say to us when we say in Limpopo, when we say, why have you underspent? They say, well, there's all this uncertainty about Section 100, so we're not sure whether we should do this or do that, etc. That's that. But it is unfortunate. On the issue of how we should address the challenges, and I think it goes to what Honorable Baker was also asking, as we pointed out, we have highlighted these things both to the national department as well as to visits that we conducted to provinces during July and August of last year. We're going back to provinces again as the National Treasury to visit all 9 during the end of July and August there. Last year what we basically said, we said to the HODs of the departments, look, your departments are not exactly operating like well-oiled machines. There are problems there. You need to put your head down and find out what's happening internally in your departments with your managers to make sure that these programs are moving faster and moving more efficiently. And basically, go back again and we'll check whether or not you've done that, and if that is not the case, then obviously we need to come up with some ideas. But accounting officers of departments are ultimately responsible for running their departments. They are there. We're in Pretoria, they're in Bishu, Mafikeng, in these places, and so there is a responsibility, obviously, to fix some of those internal challenges. But if it appears that that is, in fact, not happening, then obviously we will have to have a further discussion about what needs to happen. But at this stage, we've obviously given the accounting officers the opportunity to do their job, the job that they are hired to do, which is to manage and fix issues internally within their departments. With respect to the question from Honorable Lewis about the rollovers, the amount of provincial rollovers that took place in this last round amounted to just under 46, it was 46.7 million rand. The biggest chunks of which were in the Eastern Cape and Northwest. Now, obviously the next question that people are then going to ask is, well, these are the people that are underspending, why did you give them a rollover, etc. I think the rollover process is quite clear, and members who are part of the Appropriation Committee will be aware in terms of Treasury regulations and PFMA, how it operates. But essentially, provincial departments provide you with information in which they certify that the money that they are asking to be rolled over is committed. And therefore, they need this money in order to pay an invoice or to continue a multi-year project or something like that. Obviously, when then the province underspends at the end of that year, then it's very disappointing. Then you start asking yourself, what then is the integrity of the information that was presented at the rollover process? Obviously, you know, going forward, one of the questions that we'll have to deal with is, should we in fact say to some provinces, look, we need to return you to a zero base in terms of your budget. There's no point in keeping on rolling money over. You know, let's start again and let's operate in terms of your existing capacity rather than hoping for a hope that it maybe is not there at the moment. But it is true that the two biggest underspending provinces are the ones that did get the biggest rollovers. With respect to the issue of the transfers to municipalities, members may be aware that there is a legislative process that the National Department is undertaking on this, and I'm sure they will be able to address it more accurately themselves. But I think the major thing on that, and in line as well with the letter from the Minister, is that absolutely in cases where it is quite clear that the service needs to be provincialized, it must be provincialized. And that is a stance that we stand, you know, with the National Department in, and I believe that is the approach that they're also taking from a policy perspective going forward. But as I said, I'm sure they'll be able to give more accurate views as to the process there and the vigor or robustness, as you put it, of the actual implementation. Yes, you are correct on the targets and the credibility thereof. If you are planning to finish an infrastructure project in the fourth quarter, then it is quite conceivable that you can have a majority of your targets sitting over there rather than in the first three quarters. The thing that we always emphasize to provinces, and we have workshops with provinces every March to discuss the grant, what we say to them is, look, when you put together your business plan, you must decide what you can and cannot do and when you can do it. So if it is, in fact, the case that you can only spend the money in the last two quarters, that's fine, but it must be reflected as such. The thing that we've been trying to stop from our side is situations where provinces set a target to deliver something in the fourth or the third quarter, but they want the money in the first quarter. No, that doesn't make any sense. Because in any case, then what that means is that the national fiscus must shoulder the burden of providing money that's not going to be spent. So this is the point that we've been making, and we have actually started enforcing that. If you compare the payment schedule of this grant this year to what it was in 2008, for instance, you'll find that we have reduced the first quarter transfer to provinces quite considerably because we have recognized the fact that they don't spend the money in the first quarter. In fact, they don't spend the majority of it in the second quarter even, or the third quarter. So what we've done is we've actually started cutting that down ourselves, and that's, you know, that will make the cash flow a little bit easier. Yes, I think, you know, the bottom line is that, and in line with Honourable Baker's question about how are the amounts determined? Obviously, monies for projects in terms of libraries to actually be built must be determined in terms of those projects. So it shouldn't just be a thing where you have a rolling amount every single year. There must be a determination to say, for instance, is Eastern Cape going to be building a library here? Okay, well then we must, in terms of the outlay fiscally, we must align it to that process, which effectively means that yes, if one province is not ready to implement something. then absolutely we shouldn't give money to them until they are ready. But if province B is ready, then province B should get it. It makes perfect sense. That's the logical way that it should run, and that is our position as well. And that's what we've said to provinces, and that's also what we said during the July visits to HODs, some of whom are here today, that if you are not in a position to deliver this year, then our view is that we should look at shifting the money to people who can, because there's no point in money sitting in province A where the library is not going to be there for the next 2 years or 3 years because the capacity to deliver it isn't there, but province B is ready to deliver a library in 6 months, but we're not giving them enough money to do it. So we have to have that system. I think I've answered all the questions. I hope I haven't missed anything. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sishi. Honourable members, I will move on to the next agenda item.
The National Department must take cognizance of what has just been said. If money is taken away from a province and given to another province, the people who suffer is the people at the grassroots level who needs a library, and all that goes with that. So we will have to beef that up. This is not good enough. This is not good enough. It's a year of delivery. So it must be the last time that we hear this. And between Treasury and the National Department, you will have to come on par with your monitoring, specific to the National Department regarding libraries, your monitoring, and to push those provinces to perform. The issue about Section 100 is no excuse. They must comply to the PFMA and Treasury regulations and the annual performance plan that was adopted in the provincial legislature. And in terms of the quarterly reports being submitted to the provincial legislature specific committee. So those are the control mechanisms. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dibier. I hope the department will address some of those issues as raised. Let me take department right away. DG? Whilst you are still getting yourself ready to DG prepare, perhaps I'm not sure if in your report the point I'm going to raise will be addressed. One of our concerns, as raised by Honorable Lees earlier on, has been the fact that provinces like in the Northwest, that's where we picked up, and Gauteng, yeah, where monies were just transferred to local municipalities with the hope that they will implement, and then once money is transferred, it's used for something else. But then the reports this side will show money has been spent, but with no actual evidence on the ground. We take note of the contents of the letter from the minister with regard to the letter I wrote to him after our visit to Northwest in particular. But we would want to be comforted in this meeting for record that the situation has changed. We are not going to experience a situation where departments, provincial departments, just transfer, because in our view that was dumping. Because they just transfer without any monetary mechanisms. Yet National Treasury will have good report that this province has spent 100%, and that's the end of it. But going further, you find that no libraries were delivered, no maintenance, no furniture, nothing. And that will also relate to the plans of this library that have been built. You
can see they differ from one province to another. And surely if they differ from one province to another, the cost will not be the same. Why can't we have one model of life practice? Why do we allow provinces to have different models and all those things? If you can just also in your presentation, if it's not there already, talk to some of those things. The floor is yours, sir. Thanks. Oh, okay, Natalie.
Jim, just a point of clarity, please, before the DG starts. Just, is the DG as in an acting capacity, or is he the DG? Because I understood that the previous DG had, the Labour Court had ruled that he be reinstated. So just where we stand, is Mr. Glauber the acting, or have I got my, was Dr. Dominey not the DG of this department? Oh, I've got the wrong department. Then my question is irrelevant.
Thank you very much for correcting yourself on the list. DG Glauber, you may proceed, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Members of the Standing Committee, thank you for an opportunity to address the committee on the Labyrinth Grant. Perhaps to explain that.
Just to assist you, DG, in the National Council of Provinces, you only find select committees. The standing and the sitting you find in the National Assembly. This side is only the select committees. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. The select committee. Apologies for that. Perhaps let me start by clarifying the Dr. Dominey story. Dr. Dominey is working for the department, yes, but not as ADG. He is the head of the National Archives. Oh, yeah. My name is Busiso Xaba, Director General for Arts and Culture. Chair, I am going to go through the presentation because some of the issues that I would have covered in my presentations have already been covered sufficiently by National Treasury. I will run through them, but I will also fill in with a bit of detail on some of the questions that the honorable members have raised. Just as by way of background, the grant, and Mr. Sishi mentioned this, that it is a broad grant by its nature. That raises a couple of issues which I will touch on. But it addresses service delivery, it addresses the promotion of the library sectors, provincial HODs, in fact it was in February this year, to highlight a number of problems. You would notice, Chair, my colleague from Treasury mentioned the acceleration of expenditure in the fourth quarter. We were extremely concerned about the level of expenditure at that time of the financial year. Now, our concern is twofold. One is that, obviously, it reflects badly just on expenditure for the sake of expenditure. But more importantly, it's a service that people require. If you do not spend, we are going to lose the money eventually, but the service will not be delivered on the ground. And that is the concern that we have had to deal with together with our colleagues in provinces. We also report on the progress on the grant to all our TIC, which are the meeting between the DG and the heads of departments, as well as our MINMEC. We have had to withhold transfers from certain provinces where there is a problem. Now, the Act allows us to communicate with National Treasury, with the provincial department, as well as with the provincial treasury. Where we pick up problems, we can withhold the grant and ask them to put in place the necessary corrective action, such to our satisfaction, and then we'll release the grant. We have had to do that in certain instances in order to address problems that we have picked up until such time that we are satisfied that the problems have been resolved. And one of the instances in which we have had to do that was the Northwest, because of the problems that the chairperson alluded to earlier on. Now, let me just touch on that briefly. Some provinces have been transferring the money to, and I'm referring specifically about money for infrastructure as well as money for labor materials to municipalities. Now, our view has always been that it is best that provinces do the implementation themselves for two reasons. One is that municipalities in most instances have even less capacity than provincial governments, particularly your small municipalities. I know that one of the problems that were picked up in the Northwest was in Swartrechens, which is a small municipality without much capacity to deliver. But secondly is that you just create a long administrative chain if national government transfers to provinces and province transfers to municipalities, which adds no value absolutely in the delivery process. However, the minister, we met with the province in the Northwest. We looked at the situation that had arisen. We agreed with them that they are not going to be transferring the infrastructure and the materials money to the province, to the municipality, but they are going to implement those projects themselves. The only provinces which continue to transfer money to municipalities is Gauteng and the Western Cape. And those provinces, because they have been able to demonstrate the spending capacities of their municipalities, particularly the metropolitan municipalities in Joburg, in Tshwane, and Ekurhuleni, and in the case of the Western Cape and in Cape Town. Now, Chair, we do not want to be mechanistic about it and say that we shall not transfer to any municipality. But if there is demonstrable capacity at municipality to spend and to manage the grant, yes, we are quite happy to do that. But generally, we have discouraged other provinces from doing that, and we think we have agreement with them on managing that particular problem. I've touched on the withholding of funds because of other expenditure. I just thought it's important that I point out on this. This was covered by Mr. Sishi earlier on, but because of the nature of the grant, there are two applied for a rollover of those funds and were given the approval to roll over 26 million rands, which was then distributed to the Eastern Cape, the KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo as per the third column towards the center of the presentation. That is over and above what then was sitting with the provincial departments, which was rolled over by their own provincial treasuries. So what it means is that the Eastern Cape, for instance, their original grant in terms of the division of revenue last year was 80 million rands. Over and above that, they got 14 million rands, which was a rollover from national treasury, and 90 million rands, which was a rollover from provincial treasury, which then meant that their final allocation last year was 115 million rands. Now, there's a bit of complexity, obviously, that comes to that because you've got two rollovers, well, you've got potentially two rollovers. I don't think that we'll have that this year because we've fully transferred those funds. So the only potential rollovers that may happen under acceptable circumstances would be from provincial governments. But if you look at the trend of under expenditure, if you look at the Eastern Cape, and they're here to speak for themselves, but if you look at what they actually spent, they spent a little bit over what was transferred from their, I mean, what was their original allocation and plus what was transferred from national treasury. Their under expenditure is the provincial rollover. Now, the timing of the rollover becomes also an issue here, Jay. When do we get those rollovers so that provinces can continue to spend that money? It is an issue which we think has a bearing on the ability of provinces to spend. Limpopo once again was affected by the rollover story. infrastructure without reliance on public works. There are other development agencies in provinces, There are other development agencies in national government that can be used without having to rely on public works, because there is obviously a problem there, and it's beyond all our means to resolve that particular problem. It will resolve itself over time. So we have been working with provinces. Some of the provinces have begun to use IDT as their delivery mechanism. Some provinces are using, provincial development agencies in order to get libraries to deliver, and we believe that that is going to help us to resolve some of the problems. Chair, in resolving some of the problems, in fact, the chair touched on this issue. We are trying to standardize the design for libraries. Let me just touch on this matter briefly. If you deliver infrastructure, and this is my belief and what we are getting the department to think about our infrastructure. Infrastructure that right now we are sitting in beginning of June, if you don't have all your designs done for this financial year, you simply will not deliver that project. Because once you've got your designs, you still have to go and do your site preparation, you've got to go your rezoning, you've got to get your access to roads, and so on and so forth. That entire regulatory system takes a long time. So if you don't have that sorted out by the beginning of the financial year, that project will simply not be there on the ground. That is well beyond before you do your tendering and all the other things that go with infrastructure. So what we're trying to do, Chair, is to minimize the technical planning work that goes towards the delivery of infrastructure so that we focus most of our task on the actual delivery of infrastructure. So we are investigating a standardized library design. Now, that might work in certain instances. There will be certain things that will differ. For instance, an urban library is likely to have much more volumes of people there. So size is going to deliver. But there are certain typologies of design that can be applied. We can have certain typologies of design for rural libraries and certain typologies for urban libraries. And we believe that is going to first save on design costs. That is going to save on a whole lot of the planning cost, and it's really going to be how you apply that in the different circumstances, taking issues of gradient and those kinds of localized circumstances and soil conditions and so forth. Secondly, I have mentioned that we are investigating alternative implementing agents for different provinces. We've also been working with provinces to consider alternative service delivery approaches like mobile libraries and container libraries or modular structures. One honorable member of the committee mentioned the prefabs, and certainly there are provinces that are using that.
Thank you, Mr. Traveller. I see pictures of the libraries and I hear assurances and perhaps there's no answer to the question, Mr. Chairman, except for us to do oversight visits and go and see for ourselves that in fact the efforts that you've put into making sure that the money is spent rather than dumped it takes place. But just to quickly get back to the Dr. Dominic thing, wasn't he in charge of this particular aspect of your department, this grant? Wasn't that his responsibility? Why is he not here then today?
Honorable Mazosiwe and DPR.
Yeah, Chairperson. You know, I've been listening to the inputs made. I just want to find out whether there is a system followed nationally to monitor service delivery in provinces or municipalities. Insofar as libraries are concerned, a particular system that is being followed, so that we can make an assessment based on that one, because the Division of Revenue does outline who should be doing what in terms of conditional grants and so on. But the inputs that are being given, I don't hear that coming in a manner that's really monitoring expenditures or service delivery in provinces. I don't know. I'm not sure whether I'm lost, but I would want to hear the practical side of things, because we've been hearing all these stories that are not performing and so on and so on. But I would like to see a change somewhere to say, for example, the National Department has project managers, for example, that go into provinces and produce reports that are factual. And National is able to pick up, you know, shortcomings early on in the project. And National is able to be given information as speedily as possible in terms of the each project in a province or a local municipality. Because to me, that's where the crux is. Because if we can't have these tools to monitor expenditures and make sure that we are able to evaluate progress early on, we would always have rollovers, we would always have structures that are not there but paid for, and so on and so on. And I would like to see a system, DG, if there is, that really talks to project management in the true sense of the word. That's the issue for me. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the DG and the department's presentation. I can confirm the library in Mbabi is there. I was there at the meeting with the regional director for the department because the offices are located within the building and the staff and its function. So I can report to you. It's in my region. Thank you.
Honorable Becker? You want to follow up?
Chairman, I'm pleased to hear that this very pretty picture of Nababib Library is in fact a true picture, and I'm wondering why Nababib got such a lovely library compared with Bot Teleng, which has a much less high quality of standard building. Is there any influence that...
Thank you. Mr. Kaba, just two from myself. I'm interested to know if there is some form of relationship between your department and Public Works. Because for your information, you see, to say, can health be allowed now to roll over their, I mean, roll out their projects without using public works? No matter how big the projects are, I don't agree necessarily that they look at the big projects and run it, because health, if we're talking people, we're talking health specifically, hospitals. But even there, there were serious problems. Hence the decision was taken that, well, let's allow health to roll out their own project. But in certain provinces, precisely, I know Northern Cape is one of those where last time received support that there's some formal relationship between the department and public works, and both the MECs responsible meet from time to time, public works and whatever department is concerned, meet time from time to time to check progress and agree on certain things. And it was like beginning to bear some fruit. Hence, I would want to know if there is any formal relationship between yourself and public works, other than as stipulated in whatever decision. The last one would be, how do you, if you can just explain to me how these transfers are done. You get your transfers from National Treasury. When you transfer to provinces, do you transfer direct to departments or to provincial treasuries, and then provincial treasuries will transfer to departments? I could not, I was trying to understand this rollovers by provincial treasuries. And if, because my I was asking myself, if the money was transferred to provincial treasury and then the provincial treasury transferred to department, but then there were rollovers approved by provincial treasuries, it would then simply suggest that there were money held by provincial treasuries. Like in your case, when you held some money and asked for rollover and then release later. If you can just explain that one. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you, and thanks, members, for those questions. I must apologize, Chair, for my voice. I've got I'm battling with a bit of flu. I was accused of Westings last week. Dr. Dominey, in brief, Dr. Dominey was suspended. There was a disciplinary process. Was eventually dismissed. He appealed that decision. It went on arbitration. He won the arbitration award, and the department is currently taking that under review. So he has not been reinstated back in the department because there is still a review which is taking place. There is somebody who is acting in that position. Unfortunately, she is down with the flu and she couldn't be here. And that's the reason why she's not here. A system to monitor service delivery. If reference to a system is in as in an IT system, no, we don't have. Ideally, we should have a project management system in which we're able to, in a very detailed manner, to monitor these kinds of projects. Chair, the reason why we don't have such a system is because as a department, we haven't had much technical capacity ourselves. We're in a process of building our own technical capacity to deliver on our own projects as well as to monitor projects for this grant, which is what we transfer to provinces. We have always relied on our relationship with public works in that regard. We have identified the need to have our own capacity, and that is what we are doing then. However, we do have a unit that actually does the monitoring. They analyze the reports that we receive from provinces. They uneven. What we have been trying to secure, Chair, is a situation where we've got service delivery working in local circumstances. Where public works does not have the requisite capacity, let's put somebody else who can do that, obviously within the confines of the law, following what the law allows us to do. But let's have service delivery happening so that we don't spend time saying this one did not do that and that one did not do the other. That is what we are trying to do, both for ourselves as well as for provinces. The transfers, Chair, we transfer to the provincial treasury. Now, what happens is national treasury, given our cash flow situation, the cash flow that we give to them, they transfer money to us, we transfer to the provincial treasury. The provincial treasury transfers to the department. Now, what then happens is, in the cases in 2010-11, where we had not fully spent the grant at national level, we then apply to national treasury for a rollover, which they may or may not grant in full or in part. In that case, they grant half the request that we had made for a rollover. What then happens is that if provinces have not spent the money, it goes back to the provincial revenue fund. Now, provincial departments would then apply to their own treasury and say, we have committed this money, it has already been transferred from the National Department of Arts and Culture, and we have committed it and would like to retain it. That treasury would exercise its own discretion on whether they give that role over or not. And that is how the system really works, Chair, for the grant. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Before that, let me take one, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just before Mr. Sishi, because I think it would just assist me, just for clarity. So the money that the National Department requests a rollover on is still in the National Department's bank account. It hasn't been transferred to the provincial bank, to the provincial treasury. Question. And then on what basis is the rollover requested? Is it any different from the provincial department's request to the provincial treasury for a rollover? In other words, we've got commitments, we've got a library half built, the builders have got payments coming up, etc., etc. That relationship, perhaps Mr. Sishi can help me.
Chair, my understanding of this, and there are many people around here who know treasury a lot better than I ever will, but my understanding is that when provinces commit money, they commit the money which has been voted for them. So if province X is supposed to receive 100 million rands. By the end of the financial year, we have not transferred fully that money to the province. They have already planned on that money. Now, what might be happening is that we might still be sitting with 10 million rands of that, and the provincial treasurer might be sitting with more money of that. But the department would have entered into a contract with a contractor to supply on the basis of the full allocation. So they will come back to us and say, we have committed this money, please transfer it. We're not able to spend it by the end of the financial year, but it has been committed. And we would submit that request to National Treasury for their approval, and they would approve or otherwise at the discretion in terms of the rules ruling, I mean, governing division of revenue.
Well, perhaps let me, because we are not satisfied with this, but let's allow National Treasury first to come in, and then once the whole thing, how it should be done, is clarified, we can then entertain it further.
Thank you, Chair. Rollovers are governed by Treasury Regulation 6. I mean, it all depends on where the money is sitting. Because remember, if a national department hasn't transferred money to a province, what that effectively means is that the voted money for that national department is underspent. It's sitting with money. So clearly what must happen is that that department, in totality, with respect to that money and anything else it might have underspent, must come to the national treasury to ask for a rollover. Because obviously that
where the money is sitting. It's sitting with the national department, and the national government accounts have to obviously be dealt with appropriately. A parallel process then would obviously exist at the provincial level, because obviously provinces are governed by the PSMA in exactly the same way as national government. So what that would mean is that if a provincial department, having received money, underspent of the money, they would go through the same process with their provincial treasury, because obviously it's left national accounts. It's no longer in national government's accounts. It's sitting in the provincial government's accounts. It is true, the national department transfers money to the provincial treasury because they must, because Section 22 of the PFMA requires that all funds that go to a provincial government must go to the provincial revenue fund of that government. I.e., a provincial department sitting somewhere can't simply receive funds from any and everywhere by themselves. It must go through the revenue fund. In the same way that for national government, you don't get a department with money that no one knows about sitting somewhere. It must go through the National Revenue Fund. So that is how the process operates. I think what's also very important is that to point out is that with respect to conditional grants, there is Section 20 of the Division of Revenue Act. And Section 20 of the Division of Revenue Act states that if a provincial department has not spent money that it has received, that money must revert back to the National Revenue Fund unless that provincial department can prove that those funds are committed, as the DG was pointing out. Now, in order to prove that that money is committed, they must do two things as a provincial department. They must apply to their provincial treasury for a rollover, but they also have to indicate to national government who made the money available in the first place that, in fact, the money is also committed. So in respect of conditional grants, not the equitable share part, in respect of conditional grants to provinces, we are involved, even though we are not the ones that sit with the money and actually say it moves. Now, we are involved in the sense of saying we want to be consulted on the commitment that the provincial department says that it has. I do think that it is a vexing issue sometimes, the rollovers, because obviously when a department comes to you and says, please roll this money over, I need it, the first question you ask is it committed? If they come to you and they say, here's an invoice or here's a contract or here's a whatever, it is committed, then obviously the logical thing to do is to roll that money over and give it to them. But at the same time, as a treasury, you are wary of giving money to people who can't spend it. In other words, facilitating under expenditure. So it is a delicate balance, and it's a decision that has to be made on a case-by-case basis. Thank you.
Honourable Liz. Mr. Chairman, my concern really is, I understand all that, but is that the possibility of double dipping. I mean, the national department, we're only talking about a conditional grant here, doesn't implement itself. It doesn't build libraries, unless I'm wrong. It passes that on to the provincial department. So when the national department has money that it hasn't transferred, it's not a question of spending, it hasn't transferred the money. It then makes an application to National Treasury for a rollover. On what basis? Because it can't come to you with an invoice because it doesn't pay suppliers. It doesn't pay contractors. It transfers it to provincial treasury, or transfer it to provincial department, who in turn sometimes transfer it to municipalities. But let's stop at provincial department. They're the ones who then can produce the evidence of committed money, not the national department. And so my concern is, how does the national department justify a rollover on funds it hasn't transferred? Does it then go all the way down to the provincial department to say, okay, what monies have you committed and that you still need, so that I can, as national department, apply for a rollover on your behalf?
Well, Chair, perhaps we might want to have a separate discussion about rollovers, because it looks like a big issue, but I think, as I said, the issue is that...
Just on that point, Mr. Sisi, what Honourable Liz is saying, which makes sense to me, for national departments to withhold money,
Under what circumstances do you hold money? Perhaps if you can start there.
So we withhold money under two circumstances. One is if we believe that there is a problem in the implementation of the program. Secondly, if there is under expenditure. Now, if I may use an example, a province has an allocation of X amount. Come the third quarter in December, they've only spent half of that. Unless they can prove something quite drastic, it's unlikely that they will spend the other half in the last quarter. So under those circumstances, we would retain the money because we do not believe it is going to be spent, because provinces then are not following what would have been their cash flow projections. However, it may well happen that by the end of the fourth quarter, that money has not been spent, but has been committed. There is a contract, there is a contractor on site, and is building the library. At the end of the financial year, at the appropriate time, provinces will come to us and say, we would like to have access to those funds that were voted, but which were not transferred, because we have committed them in X, Y, and Z. Then we'll take that information, we'd obviously analyze it, and then if we're satisfied with it, we'll take it to the National Treasury as a request for rollover.
Well, perhaps, you know, it could have been much more easier if Mr. Taba was responding by way of giving an existing example, you see. Because if for an example, we enter the fourth quarter, and then it is quite clear that you can't transfer the last range of whatever you're supposed to transfer to us because we are not going to spend it. In any event, on the third quarter, we have still only spent half of what's supposed to be our total allocation. And then it's a matter of 3 months. Now you are saying to me, prove within 3 months that you'll be able to spend this money. And voila, just towards the end of that thing, I come and say, no, I've contracted this contractor. They will be starting to build. We know how government works. I mean, it raises a number of questions. I think that is a concern that what gives you reasons to apply as a national department for rollovers for money that we've held? I think that was the question. Hence, I was saying perhaps the better way is to start first by understanding under what circumstances we withhold money. Because at provincial level, not unless, of course, it will happen that for you to be able to apply for this, you'll go down to the provincial department and say, give us justification or give us reason for us to be able to apply for rollover on your behalf. And then whatever reason that they give you, if you are convinced, you'll use that as justification for you to approach National Treasury to approve.
Thank you, Chair. Incidentally, I believe that this committee requested quite a comprehensive paper from us around the whole application of withholdings that we sent, I think it was last year or something like that. But, and I suppose we could have a discussion about that sometime, but one of the things that for us, and it's a very good question that you raise, that's often very puzzling, is why is it, and I think Honorable Lewis is also asking a similar question, is why is it that between the provincial department and the national department, there isn't clarity at the right time as to what exactly the commitments are? I mean, how do we get to the point? But I suppose that's something that also HODs can answer, as to why is it that the national department doesn't know that a province is going to commit the money until at the very end? Because I suppose if you know as an HOD that I'm going to sign a contract or I'm going to issue a tender for something, then why is it that you were not able to say that until such time as everything has gone and people are applying for rollover? But I think just to answer directly Honorable Lewis' question about national government, national department applying for the rollover, the reality is that obviously if the national department doesn't transfer the money, what will happen is national government accounts will show a surplus of funds over and above what was planned to be spent. Now, nothing can happen to that money unless the treasury that's responsible for that sphere does something to it.
naturally, the national department would have to go to the national treasury, because otherwise they can't go to anybody else, because the money is sitting in national government's accounts, and nothing can happen to that money until the relevant treasury says it can happen to it. So I think that's probably the best, I don't know if it's a satisfactory answer, but that's the best answer I can give, is that it has to address the surplus of funds at the national government level. But I do think that the national department is in a position to say to a province, and I think this is what they did last year when we had the withholdings, to say to a province, look, as you know, we've got this money withheld from you that you didn't get. You can give us the commitments so that we can go to National Treasury and illustrate to them that, in fact, you need this money. I don't see why it should be a problem between the two of them to actually have that process in a manner that allows the National Department to properly apply for rollover. Incidentally, in 2010-11, one of the provinces for which monies was withheld, I believe, was Northwest. Northwest, we declined the request for a rollover. And in retrospect, it looks like it was the right decision. Because what would happen is that, unfortunately, the practice in rollovers is that everybody applies for rollover. That's what happens. We sit in a rollover committee, and every single person just applies for a rollover. And so you have to, as a treasury, go through the painstaking process of divining whether or not these people are in the right or in the wrong with respect to this request. And in some cases, we made a decision that, in fact, we're not going to grant that rollover. It's a case-by-case decision that we have to make. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Members. We'll take just 10 minutes break. I'm told tea has been ready as early as 11 o'clock, and then it's going to be less than 10 minutes, in fact, 5 minutes. Exactly 22, we'll be starting with Eastern Cape and followed by Mpumalanga. And then we'll take questions after that. Both of them have presented. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, honourable members. In our back, we'll take both Eastern Cape, and then after their presentation, they'll be followed by Mpumalanga, and then we can take questions after the two. I'm sure DGs from the two provinces were listening to the presentation by National, which covers some of aspects relating to our province. And MEC Dom has requested that the DG will lead the presentation because he's not feeling quite well this morning. And you may say table the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members of the Select Committee and Honorable MECs, DG and colleagues. First of all, let me, as a point of departure, Honorable Chair, say that where the Eastern Cape, we accept the feeders that have been tabled here, that is by the National Treasury, is the true reflection of the expenditure on our library.
My apologies, sir. May I request you that you move to, or if there's someone who will operate the slides for you, for those who don't have copies. Okay, you may proceed. I think the matter is... Okay. Or you can move to the seat if you are the one who gonna... Or will you do it, Simon? Okay.
You may proceed. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you.
Honorable Chair, may I also extend a word of gratitude to the National Treasury and the Department of Arts and Culture for their guidance and intervention that is during this year of expenditure in our financial year. And in doing so, indeed, as Mr. Sishi has alluded, there has been a quantum leap that is in the expenditure of the Eastern Cape, that is in the rolling out of the library services. And especially if you take into consideration the year-on-year growth of 91.4%. In fact, if one looks at the actual expenditure of 92.1 million, which exceeds, that is the allocation of 80 million, that in itself indicates that there has been a significant growth that is in the expenditure. And I'm also taking into consideration, Honorable Chair, that there has been a rollover of 34 million, as has been explained by the DG, that is the 14.5 million and also the 19 million, which amounted to 34 million. But now the overall expenditure has indeed exceeded the allocation of 80 million and has reduced, that is the rollover of 34 million. Honorable Chair, I'm going to summarize as you have actually said that the figures have been presented by the DG, but it's just to say the purpose and objective of the grant, as we know it, it's to enable South African society to gain access to knowledge and information that will improve their socio-economic situation. And we indeed transform the urban and rural community library infrastructure, facilities and services, and DG has alluded to the fact that the utilization of the conditional grant is on infrastructure and is on machinery and is on the library, that is the books, and also the human resource provisioning. Now the expected outcomes, Honourable Jem, I'm not going to go through all of them, but these are the outcomes, the expected outcomes, that is through the rollout of the library infrastructure and services. Just to summarize them, it's improved library infrastructure and services, it's transformed and equitable library and information services. It's improved coordination and collaboration between the three spheres of the government, that is national, provincial, and local. It also, it's improved culture of reading, and especially if one takes into consideration that we also, through the South African Library for the Blind, which benefits from this grant, you know, we're giving an opportunity to a section of the population which would have ordinarily not gotten that opportunity to read, and improve staff capacity at urban and rural libraries, that is to respond appropriately to community knowledge and information needs. Now, Honourable Chair, this is the summary of the expenditure as per the economic classification. On the left-hand side, we have the project, we have the budget, we have the expenditure and the variance. Now, the first one is the construction of the Mdansane Library, which had a budget of 26.6 million. The expenditure to date is 24.1 with a variance of 2.4. Now, the construction of Mount Elif Library with a budget of 5 million and 4.9 has been used. Construction of library in Lady Frey, the professional fees. Chair, I will talk to this, you know, later in the presentation. We've got two libraries that we have started, that we're about to construct. That is the Lady Frey, and why one might ask that, how come that we have a minimal figure of 406,000 as a budget, but the expenditure is nil for now. And also the construction of Tsolo Library, which is 150,000, and we haven't started expanding, that is on its construction. Now, the upgrading of libraries, we had 15.9 million. We have used 5.3 million. Perhaps before we move, we step off that slide, let me just explain the construction of both Lady Frey and Tsolo Library. Chair, Honorable Chair, after doing the descriptive analytic account of our under expenditure, we then decided to look very carefully at how we're going to roll out, that is, the library services. Our nemesis, they lie in two areas. Number one, it was, and I would hate to sound like a broken record when I talk about the Department of Public Works, but we picked up that the tardiness that is in processing, you know, that is our applications, that is for the construction of library, is actually a challenge. Number two, we also analyze the flow process of the construction itself. That is, now, if you look at the construction of Lady Frey and Tsolo Library, we took a view now that for this financial year, we will only budget for the design and the planning and design, which normally takes about three quarters of a financial year. And previously, we would actually look at a library and say and allocate the whole funds, that is for the construction of the library. Now that explains why we have a budget of 406 and 150,000 for Lady Frey and Solar Library respectively, because we've taken a view now for this first year we'll only do the planning and design, which has already happened, and now there will be minimal construction that is going to take place that is in this financial year. That explains that. Now, the upgrading of libraries, Chair, you'd find that we had a budget of 15.9 million, and we've only expended 5.3. That's exactly the problem that we had with Public Works, because we had given them all our plans as early as February, that is in March, but they started advertising, that is in October, that is last year. Now, if you look at the period of time left between October and the end of March, now you see that we don't have enough time to play around with. So that explains the variance of 10.5 million. Now, the building and other fixed structures, we had a budget of 60 million and expenditures 47 million. And the goods and services, including professional fees and furniture, at 28 million, we've expended 21.7 with a variance of 6.9. And the COE budget of 13.5 and we expended 11.6 million. And the transfer to South African Library for the Blind, we've actually transferred the whole budget there. Now, in terms of machinery and equipment, we had budgeted 10.7 and we only spent 8.8 million.
Sir DG, how do you know which ones are thousands, which ones are millions there on those slides?
I beg your pardon, Honorable Chair.
How do you know which ones are thousands, which ones are millions? Initially, I was reading them as thousands, all of them.
Oh,
and then I thought you would follow that, but I can hear some you are able to say this is the lesser figures are millions, the huge ones are thousands. You see that slide?
Oh yes, yes, I've picked up. They are all millions.
Does not befit your office. Okay, proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Now, Honorable Chair, these are the outcomes. That is in the library services. We said the outcome is transformed and equitable library and information services delivered to all rural areas. And I think I'm not going to waste the time of the honorable members here. You would note that we, on the left-hand side, we have a target of, we said the number of libraries as the output, number of libraries provided with furniture. We've indicated that we didn't have a target, but the actual number of libraries that were provided with the furniture is 20. Now, the reason for that, Chairperson, is that there was no target set for the fourth quarter, as the tender was advertised timelessly. So we would have thought that we'd be able to do that before the fourth quarter. So that's why you see a discrepancy, that we didn't have anything as a target, but we had an actual of 20. So there have been technical challenges that were identified, that is during the award stage, and it had to be re-advertised. So ideally, we didn't want to, we didn't plan to have in the fourth quarter, we didn't plan to have any furniture provided to the library. Again, as an outcome of improved library infrastructure and services delivered to all rural and urban communities, the number of community libraries established, we had no target, we have no actual. Now, the construction of libraries are multi-year projects, as we have indicated, that the view that we've taken now is that the planning and design will happen on the first financial year. Now, we have both Ndanzane and Mount Elif libraries that are projected for completion. That is in August this year. And the Lady Frey and Solo, which are the two libraries for which we have just completed, that is the planning and design, and we just have the minimal amount for its construction. Now, as an output, the number of libraries upgraded and rehabilitated. That's where most of our nemesis come from. It's the number of projects that we gave to Public Works as early as February last year, which were advertised, you know, that is in around about October. So you can see there we had a target of 20, but the actual was 5, that is on the fourth quarter. So those projects were submitted to Public Works in February, but contractors were appointed on the last quarter of the last financial year. But I must say, Honorable Chair, we've paid our school fees, that is to Public Works, and we've now taken a view of using an alternative service provider, or if you like, implementing agent. And that's what the DG alluded to. Hence, we started by thanking the guidance, you know, and the intervention of the Department of Arts and Culture. Because we found that if we do not use, you will see the acceleration in expenditure, that is in the last quarter, you know, that is in the third and the last quarter mainly. And that really has been through the intervention of the Department of Arts and Culture. Now, the number of modular libraries, Chair, this year we didn't have much of a problem. Out of 12 modular libraries, we have 8 that have been delivered and paid for. Now, the 4 could not be delivered due to the effect of the weather conditions on the roads. Chair, most of these modular libraries are rolled out, that is, in rural areas. Now, you'd find that the road surfaces are not as one would have liked them to be, you know, and especially on rainy weathers. And mainly the areas that we're rolling them out to, they've got rainfall patterns, you know, that are awkward, and especially during the fourth quarter of the year. Now, the number of qualified librarians appointed and existing personnel compensated. Target was 77, we had 60. Now there's a high staff turnover due to contractual appointment on conditional grant. Now 17 staff members have since resigned during the financial year. Honorable Chair, what I'm trying to highlight there is that because we employ these professionals, that is, we're using conditional grant to employ them. Now, obviously, their terms of conditions, I mean, their conditions of employment are conditional as well. So you find that as soon as they get permanent employment, they leave our services. So that's why we have a high turnover. Again, here, the number of library workers trained. We didn't have a target, but we ended up with 70 that were trained. So there was no target for the fourth quarter. That's the old explanation. But library workers were trained in the last quarter, were the ones that could not be trained in the third quarter due to logistical challenges. The increased number of users in libraries, promotional and advocacy programs were celebrated in all districts. Some culminated in provincial events. Here, Honorable Chair, we just want to highlight the constraints and the remedial actions that we're putting in place. For instance, on the outcome of improved library infrastructure and services, our constraints, the infrastructure projects are awarded to emerging contractors by public works. And these contractors invariably, they always have cash flow problems, and this in turn affect the completion period, you know, that is for this, in service delivery. But we think that the intervention there is projects are submitted to public works timelessly, because we cannot actually instruct public works not to use the emerging contractors because of the problems of unemployment. So we hope that these contractors can start early and be able to finish their work within the financial year. Now on the outcome of CETA, improved library infrastructure and services delivered, the CETA delays, that is in billing, because their invoices come from their head office in Joburg. Honorable Chair, I think it's a challenge for all provinces. We've picked that up. I've intervened there where I've actually phoned the CEO on a number of occasions. But I must say that we haven't resolved that one. But the meeting is to renegotiate with CETA to decentralize their billing system are held at national level. And at provincial level, meetings are held with local CETA to pressurize them to submit invoices on time. That's the only intervention we can have at the moment. Now, the improved staff capacity at urban and rural libraries to respond appropriately to community needs. Our constraints is that conditional grant staff turn over, staff resign constantly as a result of the condition of their employment, which is what I've alluded to. So this impact on service delivery, especially at public libraries, as some libraries have to be closed again. Now, we think as a remedy, conditional grant staff should be incorporated into equitable share to ensure sustenance and continuity. We hope that it will help to solve the problem. Now, the monitoring capacity of the conditional grant, a department is a monitoring and evaluation unit under strategic management component that assists in ensuring that projects are done according to plans, business plans, APPs, and operational plans. In actual fact, Honorable Chair, we take our APPs, we align our APPs with our budget, with our operational plans, and the cash flow projections, so that we can monitor the spending. The in-year monitoring, which obviously is a tool that we use to track the spending, is done internally to check the spending patterns as against cash flow projections. The monthly and quarterly reports that are submitted to DEC and quarterly reviews are held with DEC in compliance with the DORA. Conditional grants as its administration unit with the project manager, acquisitions and admin offices. Provincial Evaluation Committee monitors performance of community grants throughout the year. The achievements with new libraries, Mount Elif and Tanzania libraries, are on the last phase and due to completion, as we indicated in August. 11 containers are functional, and qualified personnel and 8 modular libraries have been delivered, as I've indicated in earlier slides. The outdoor learning equipment, jungle gyms, have been installed in 15 libraries throughout the province. Honorable Chair, since the inception of conditional grant, the department has managed to renovate a total of 84 libraries out of 120 libraries throughout the province, detecting detection system have been installed in all identified libraries, and presently the province has provided internet and email facilities to a total of 88 libraries. 11 libraries are providing services for people with visual disabilities. In conclusion, Chairperson, and honorable members, the high priority in the province is provision of infrastructure to our libraries. Infrastructure is too technical and has to be outsourced to implementing agents. Now, the implementing agent, other than Public Works, that we use is PUHA, and we believe that other provinces are also using PUHA as well. And due to appointment of librarians, Honorable Chair, the libraries that were closed and others opening for short hours are now operating normally. Now, irrespective of the challenges that we are encountering, there is improvement in terms of spending on infrastructure. During the last financial year, the province spent 73% of its budget for 2011-2012, and we're now sitting at the expenditure of 80.1%. Perhaps, Chair, before we get to the libraries, may also make note of the fact that of the 115 million that was at our disposal for spending this financial year, the Eastern Cape, our department spent 92.1 million, and we're left with about 34 million. And out of that 22 million. Of that 22 million, 18 million had been committed. And as you have seen in our breakdown, some part of those funds are going to be used in Mount Elif and in Dantsane Library. In actual fact, the amount that we are unable to use is just a 4 million out of 115 million. Now, this is in Dantsane Library as of the 15th of March, Honorable Chair, and it's a huge library, and I would, through my Honorable MEC, I would like to extend an invitation to both National Treasury and the Department of Arts and Culture, and even the honorable members of the committee, of the select committee, when we open that. And this is the progress in the construction of Mount Elif. That is as at 12 March 2011. It has significantly improved on that. It's just that we didn't have the recent pictures. This is the modular library in the Extension 9 that is in Grahamstown. That's inside the modular library. It's a renovated MacLear library that is at Joe Kabi District. Renovated Mbuiseli Kosinkulu Library at Takatu District. Services for people with visual disabilities, they use those gadgets. And Honorable Chair, before I think, I would like to note that I've noted with concern when the DG was shown the libraries of all the provinces, and I didn't see any from the Eastern Cape. So it is for that reason that we've decided to show a number of pictures of our libraries for this. And Honorable Chairperson, and in thanking the select committee, I would like to pledge our commitment. And as explained here, our expenditure pattern now, because of the interventions that we've had after we had analyzed our expenditure for the previous years, I can guarantee now that that the 80% that we see in expenditure is going to grow significantly. And if we do not achieve 100% for this financial year, I would like to say that I will request the MEC to fire me. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll play these tapes again next year. Mpumalanga?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me thank the Chairperson and the Portfolio and the Select Committee for inviting us in this important meeting. Chairperson, I am with the HOD of the department, Mrs. Njoka, the CFO, Mr. Koza, and the manager responsible for libraries in the province, Mrs. Stolle. I will just give the overview, then the HOD will take over. He will be held by the CFO. Chairperson, since the inception of the conditional grant in 2007-2008, as a province we have built 15 new libraries. For the last financial year, only two libraries were built, which are supposed to be open this year, as the DG has alluded to, and has shown us one of the libraries that we are going to open it this financial year. That is why we don't have any photos to show on here. Honorable Chairperson, why there are not no noticeable deliveries since 2007? The 2011-2012 financial year presented achievement and challenges. As Mr. C. Chef indicated, that there are delays coming from the public works. As a province, we have experienced that. That is why the ESCO of Mpumalanga have decided to establish a political and a technical infrastructure committee to address the provincial backlogs, precisely because it's not only our department which is affected, but the other department in the province who are dealing with infrastructure. So we decided that the political, which is composed of MECs, and the technical committee, which formed by the officials, they need to monitor the rollout of the infrastructure project in the province. Chairperson, let me hand over to the HOD to continue with the presentation. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, DG and colleagues, good afternoon. I think the MEC has just outlined a brief overview of where we are in terms of the state of our libraries in the province of Mpumalanga. My presentation would focus on the key areas as outlined in our brief, namely, if you could move to slide number 2, which is namely the expenditure trends for the financial year 11 and 12, but I'll also talk to the reasons for the variance in the financial year 2011 and 12. Then I'll also talk to the department's monitoring capacity. Then lastly, to look at the overall spending plans in terms of this financial year, namely the 2012 and 13 financial year. As we continue with the update in terms of how we have fared as a province in terms of the implementation of our grant. As the honorable members would know, we have been receiving this grant for the 5 financial years, starting from the financial year 07-08. And I need to indicate that in the financial year 07-08 and 08-09, we have been using the implementing agent, which is IDT. And we have been doing very well. We've never had challenges before in terms of our implementation. However, we have now changed to our sister department,
That is why you would see that if you look at our trends, we are a bit slow in terms of the expenditure, and I think our Honorable MEC has also raised that issue. We were able to construct the libraries in all our three districts. What we do as a department, we try and spread them in all the three districts and to ensure that we also cover areas that fall within what is called the CRDP areas, which is looking at those poverty-stricken areas. Those are the different libraries that we have done, the 15 that the MEC has spoken to, where we had 9 that were newly constructed, we had 6 upgrade, and we also had 6 existing libraries which we identified and upgraded. We renovated 2. We also had 3 mobile libraries and 4 container libraries, especially in the rural areas where the number of people or the communities in those areas are quite small. In those ones, we then decided that we would put the mobile and the container libraries. I think I've already spoken to the usage of IDT as one of our implementing agents, but currently we are using Public Works for all our infrastructure projects related to the libraries. We have signed a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Public Works, and specifically what we do, we take our business plan and we sit down and give them the time frames in terms of the different quarters. Then between me and my colleague, we then signed that we would make sure that implementation is in line with that. However, we have to say it upfront that we are struggling to meet those time frames as we would have loved to from the department side. We have also provided ICT network in 105 libraries where we have included internet, headcounts, your network cables, and also to look at the base locks and SLIMS systems in all those different libraries for the financial year 11 and 12. In terms of starting from the financial year 2007, we have been able to produce or to provide library material in all our libraries, 335,000.6. Library material in the form of books, periodicals that we have been providing to our libraries. And I also need to indicate, I think this was also outlined by the DG when he did the presentation, to say that we have also issued bursaries to the libraries, to the library assistants. 28 of those library assistants have received bursaries from the department. We continuously try and ensure that we also promote the libraries that we have created by having 4 reading promotion programs that we implement annually in our libraries. We've just given a summary of some of those reading programs that we do. For example, your library international and national days, your translation of children's books, just to indicate that as a province, we are trying to promote the local indigenous languages, Swati and Isindebele. And we encourage our book writers to translate those books. We have also a program on writers' development, which we are doing as a department under the library section, but in partnership with the arts and culture side of the department. We have 69 library officials that we have employed in 2007 through the usage of the funds that we have received from the grant. In terms of the budget breakdown, we are looking at 4 key areas in terms of the economic classification, namely the compensation of employees. You would see that in terms of the compensation of employees, we had a budget of 9.7 million, and we have spent 9.6 for the financial year 11 and 12. Goods and services, 26.6. Building and other fixed structures, 21.5. Machinery and equipment, at 8.6. I think in total, in terms of our economic classification, we had a budget of 66.4 for the financial year 11 and 12, and we spent 62.5 with a variance of 3.9. I would outline the variance in the slides that follow in terms of why we had that difference. The budget summary in terms of the different trends, looking from the financial year 09-10 right up to the financial year 11 and 12, which was last year. The allocation that we had in 09-10 was 65.4. We have been able to spend 56.5. The slides that follow, I would take you through the variance that we have. The financial year 2010-11, we had 70.9. We were able to spend all our budget.
The financial year 2011 and 12, which is last year, 66.4, we were able to spend 62.5. I think when Treasury presented earlier this morning, they did indicate that would obviously have that rollover. For the financial year 9 and 10, the rollover that was approved was related to the upgrading of the Nelspruit Regional Library, which at that particular point in time was sitting at 52%. So we still needed to have 2.8 for the completion of that particular library. Obviously, before we are granted that rollover, we need to ensure as a department that we do have commitments for that funding. The commitment was also related to the Mzinoni Public Library, which was at that stage at a 50% completion. We also needed furniture and equipment and also the security system when those libraries were completed. So we did have commitments, and therefore we requested that rollover, which we were then granted from the provincial treasurer. For the financial year 10 and 11, we had spent all our money, so we did not request any rollover. However, in the financial year last year, which is 11 and 12, we had spent 94% of the funds, and we requested a rollover of 3.917 from our provincial treasury. Honorable Chair, you will see that there's a difference from the figure that was presented by National Treasurer. I think there's a difference of about 120. The difference comes as a result, at the end of the closing of the books, we had done several payments, which therefore caused the change. It's not a big change, but at the end of the day, we then requested a rollover of 3.9, which is related to infrastructure progress projects and also funds for retention. We also have also requested money for the security system. So the money that we are requesting for a rollover is also allocated in terms of what we'll be spending it for. If we move on to the reasons for underspending, I think some of the reasons have also been raised by the other provinces and also from the side of National in terms of the slow expenditure on library infrastructure, which sometimes we do not have full control for. But as the Honorable MEC has indicated, that a political infrastructure committee has been established in the province where all the MECs that belong to departments that have infrastructure continuously monitor in terms of reports and to check if ever there are problems in some of those construction, what are the problems, how can they be mitigated, and how can we address that. So in a way, that is really assisting us as a province to deal with that slow expenditure patterns that we are now realizing. We also have the delays in terms of the submitting of infrastructure invoice by service providers, but I think it also comes sometimes from the implementing agent, because before they could submit those invoices, they have to make sure that everything is in line before we can be able to effect payment. Late submission of progress certificate by the implementing agent and the principal agent, and also the issue of municipalities, as you would understand, Honorable Chair, that we do get allocation of land from the different municipalities. We did have a bit of a challenge as a province where the municipality allocated land to us, and then down the line they changed that land, but there were reasons that were forwarded to us in terms of that land. The library that were busy, which is busy under construction around Driefontein, the land that was initially allocated was not suitable, so the municipality had to change the land, which therefore immediately affects, one, our spending patterns, two, it also affects our program in terms of what we have said would do in line with the business plan. So you find that then there are delays. We cannot transfer any funds until we then acquire new land and then start the construction. As much as we have a system within the province where we try and acquire land early, even for the next financial year, we've already written to the municipalities of committed land, but when they change in between, it becomes very difficult for us to be able to then do those transfers. So that's one of the challenges that we have experienced as a province. But as I've indicated, the existence of the Infrastructure Political Committee and Technical Committee really plays a very great role, big role in terms of assisting us to move forward. In terms of monitoring capacity, we have in the department the operational support team, which assists us as a department. What we did, as a province, there was an OST that was established at a provincial level, and as a department, we then recruited some of the people that were working in the OST to then come and assist us in terms of technical skills and to monitor the projects and go on site, because they have the know-how, they are qualified people working together with the internal staff from the library section. The political and the technical infrastructure committee plays a very big role, as I've spoken to. Then the provincial treasury also does an oversight role in terms of infrastructure. They sit with us in the political and technical infrastructure committee. They also give their own reports in terms of the oversight that they've done, and we then go and account to that particular structure. We have continuously received progress reports in terms of our sister department that is assisting us on implementing, but as a province, we do not do any transfers to the municipalities. We only acquire land from the municipality, but we then conduct the implementation or infrastructure implementation to our sister department, which is Public Works. So there are no transfers that we do to the different municipalities. Lastly, Chair, I would like to talk to the budget projections for this financial year, which is 12 and 13, as divided into the four quarters. If you look at the first quarter, we have not requested a lot of money because that's when we are starting with the infrastructure, and obviously there's a bit of a slow progress. We also buy library material, ICT and equipment, furnishings and security. So if you look at our first quarter allocated budget, it's not a lot. However, if Chair could move to the third quarter, the projections to spend a high amount in the third quarter is because, one, we have requested that 21.9 million, and we also have that 3.917 rollover. And our expectation is that at this time, the provincial treasury would have obviously approved the rollover, so it will come in during the third quarter. That is why if you look at the amounts that we have allocated on the third quarter, they would obviously be higher than the first and the second quarter. Would continuously obviously do the implementation as broken down in the slide, the budget projections that I've said would be implementing. So at the end of the third quarter, would obviously be expected to have spent the 25.8 million. The last quarter, which is 17.6, would obviously be a completion of the project that one would have already started, and it would obviously be spent according to the budget projection that I've outlined there. I think, Chair, that's basically the overall infrastructure presentation from the Department of Culture, Sports and Recreation in Mpumalanga. I thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Mpumalanga. Honourable members, can you reflect? Honourable Liz, Honourable Becker, Honourable that order. Thank you very much.
Chairman, thank you. Let me just start with Mpumalanga. I've got it in front of me. A little gremlin in terms of numbers. Again, the actual expenditure doesn't tie up with national treasuries by a small amount, but one wonders why these kind of gremlins creep in. Chairman, in Mpumalanga, the question of this rollover really vexes us. The motivation for a rollover is it's committed, I need to pay suppliers, but then we go and budget it for the third quarter. So these poor suppliers and contractors and whatever the commitments were, they wait for 6 months before they get their money. I think, as Mr. Tishy says, it's a subject for a completely separate discussion, but I don't know how you can say we got commitments and then only budget to pay those commitments in 6 to 9 months later. It's a strange thing. I'm really battling with the whole concept, Mr. Chairman. Let's move on to Eastern Cape, Mr. Chairman, if I may. Okay, you picked up the question of numbering and so on, so hopefully that will be sorted out. But the statement was made that planning and design takes 9 months. Now, in private enterprise, if the planning and design of a library were to take 9 months, I mean, we'd be bankrupt. It should be a couple of weeks. a month at outside, 9 months? Is that, I mean, I find that incredible. Is that how slow we operate? And then, you know, we wait from February to October for Public Works to advertise. I mean, after the first week, I'd be phoning to say, Public Works, when are you advertising? Not wait for 6 months. I'm the whole question of Public Works is an interesting one, because at a provincial level, where I assume it's a portfolio of one of the MECs, and the MEC has, you guys have meetings on a weekly or whatever basis, and for you guys to come here and complain about one of your colleagues, not his or her department, not doing the job a year later, 6 months later, I mean, there seems to be a problem at that level, before we get to the actual departmental level, that the old question of silos, I suppose, is partly to blame, but it's just, yeah. And then 2 million rand transferred to South African Library for the Blind. All the others are kind of specific salaries or this library or buildings. What did the South African Library for the Blind do with the 2 million? What was the purpose of that? An interesting one on slide 8, where tenders had to be re-advertised. Question is, did the Auditor General classify that as wasteful expenditure? Okay, you know, I come from a rural area of KwaZulu-Natal, and roads are usually, well, actually I think our roads are better than the Eastern Cape. Pretty my colleagues from the KZN are not here. But nevertheless, you know, yeah, for four live modular libraries just not to get to their destination because the roads were impassable. Well, for 12 months, 3 months, it was impossible, or just for the one day that the delivery was due to take place and we couldn't deliver it next week once the rains had stopped, or what I'm saying really is the road's so bad that it can never get there, in which case, why did we ever plan to send one there? And I don't know if I'm phrasing myself well. You know, I mean, if it was just a seasonal thing, sure, in 12 months could we not get it delivered? But if the roads are so bad that you'll never get it there, well, why did we ever plan for it? Okay, I think you quite rightly have addressed the question of employees based on a grant funding, conditional grant funding. I think it's a really, your suggestion is a very good one, but whether National Treasury can accommodate, I don't know, because I don't see how one can put an infrastructure in place that requires employees and then say, well, the money for the employees might be withdrawn next year, and then the infrastructure just stands there like a white elephant. I think you've got a very good point there. Mr. Chairman, this is my ignorance, please forgive me, but what services does SITA CETA provide that needs to be invoiced? Please forgive me if it's a really simple thing that I should know, but I can't. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Honourable Chair, we take note that both these provinces have got trouble with the public works to have this infrastructure built and to be there, and Eastern Cape have problems with their personnel, their staff. But all I like to know from both of these provinces is there, with all this money spent, all these facilities built, is there an increase in the culture of reading? Is there any way now you measure that? Our people is using the libraries more than before.
Eastern Cape.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. Let me start with the planning and design. I can't agree more with the Honourable Member, because invariably, in fact, I would have thought that 3 months is the longest time that planning and design should take. But may I also say that
because it's public works, and I'll be the last one to protect them. But I would assume that our projects as arts and culture, if you take in, if you compare them with what they are building for Department of Education, Department of Health, you know, that is the largest department. And I would assume ours are just a drop in the ocean, you know. We have made follow-ups, you know. So that's why we took a view that, look, we're not going to throw our arms in the air in despair and say, there's nothing that we can do. Let's look for an alternative implementation. But I agree with the Honorable Member. 9 months is rather too long. Now, coming to the bad weather, you see, the allocation for those libraries is about 1.5, and we said there are four of them. I think the bad weather coincided, that is, with the delivery, but the same cannot be said. That's the time where we were supposed to spend, but that amount, it forms part of that 18 million which is going to be spent, and I think if it hasn't been spent by now, for instance, but that obviously it coincided with the end of the financial year. So I take that, I agree, but it's something that didn't stay there for long, but it just coincided with the time. And the CETA, Honorable Chair, again, the amount again is 178,000. It's actually part of that 18.2 million, which has been committed. That one is for training, Honorable Chair. So there's a special training that is, and CETA is contracted by the government. You see, we were just, for instance, the other day, and say, why don't we look for alternative service provider to give us the training? But there has been a transversal. There's a contract that is for all departments to use CETA, and that, so we have a bit of a challenge there. So we could not. So since the invoice was not submitted, and they promised that they will submit the invoice sometime in May, and having narrated their story, you know, that is with billing, that is the department and provinces. For instance, we think that payment will be effected now in June. Chairperson, the two million rands that is for the South African blind. Let me just get the director to give me the specific on that 2 million, Mrs. Mabat.
Thank you, HOD. The 2 million that we transferred during the financial year under review was for 2010-11 and 2011-12. Unfortunately, we couldn't transfer during the 2010-11, and then we got a rollover. Hence, we transferred 2 million. Initially, for each financial year, we were only transferring 1 million rand to the South African Library for the Blind. The purpose of the funding is for them to assist us to roll out the program of ensuring that partially and blind people have a service. In one of the slides that the HOD showed, you are shown there that there are some gadgets, there are some things that are bought for the people with visual disabilities to make them access the libraries. The libraries that we have identified have got a large concentration of people that are blind. So each library that has an X number of people that are blind are given the opportunity to have that facility within an existing library.
Honorable Chair, I think in summary, in all, it's the equipment that is used specifically for the people with the visual impairment. And in fact, it's just that I can't explain those gadgets. I know that they're using hands, you know, there are some sounds in others. So it's the equipment that actually cost us, you know, that is for those libraries. The other question, Honorable Chair, was that the re-advertisement of the tenders. If the director can just assist us on the reasons. First, I'm going to talk about the wasteful expenditure.
Thank you, Judy. When the tender was awarded, when the tender was at evaluation stage, it was picked up that there were inconsistencies in terms of the numbers that we required. I will make an example. Instead of saying we want 74 units, we said we want 73, and that was picked up during the evaluation stage. The argument at that stage to cancel the tender was that the tenderers have not tendered in accordance to the specification. Some have tendered for 75, some have tendered for 73, and as such now they cannot be effectively compared with each other. Hence the tender was taken back to be re-advertised so that people could respond to the same requirements of the tender.
Thank you, Honorable. I don't know if I can summarize this, you know. And I think that has to do with the number of units that were needed. And damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know. In other words, as the example given was on a number that is 77. Now, if all tenderers, they didn't tender for 77 units. They tender they don't tender for what was in the specification. So it was thrown out on that technicality. Yes. The last one is that, is there an increase in the culture of reading? There's definitely an increase in the culture of reading, and especially in the rural areas. You will note, Honorable Chair, that some of these libraries are rolled out in the previously disadvantaged areas. We talk about the Mount Elves. You talk about areas that didn't have libraries before. So you have a lot of... in fact, in some instances, the people are asking us and say, would it not be possible if when you build your libraries, you build them next to a school so that the schools around that area, they benefit, you know, from the community library. And I would say the manner in which the readership has increased is such that we wish we could actually roll out to those deep, deep rural areas. But of course, we are informed by the demographics before we actually put any library in any place. We municipalities in terms of the number of population in that area and the number of schools and other things. But in short, what I can say is that it indeed the number of readership has actually increased.
Program that talks to walk to your library.
this program, which is Walk to Your Library, it's actually being driven at a level of our Honorable MEC together with the MEC of Education. They are the people that are leading that particular program, which therefore involves schools to ensure that schools are given an opportunity to go to the libraries, and we encourage the young kids to also go there. Within also Funza for Fun, we also target adults to say they must go to the library and read certain books, and we also include the different indigenous languages within the province. One other area that we, I think, has really assisted us in terms of increasing this is our partnership with Sanlam. We have a partnership within Funza for Fun with Sanlam, where we are promoting reading competitions specifically for investment area. They've even created a game which we obviously give to the school children, give it to adults. They play this game. It's an investment game, but at the same time, they are taking reading. They are learning. They are reading these books in a very relaxed mode, in a very fun way. And then at the end of that, we then have competitions where whoever has read a certain number of books that we have allocated then gets to be given some kind of incentives. And there are different categories in terms of how we incentivize them, from children right up to the stage of adults, and also those adults that are just beginning to enter the field of learning. We are doing, as my colleague from Eastern Cape, in terms of the statistics, the headcount system is really assisting us in terms of keeping trends of the number of people that are entering libraries, and also the librarians also, you know, continue to check those statistics and see if they are improving. Chair, I am aware that in a very, very rural area called Ramsusha, we have one of the stats that I could share with the members. We have realized that we have about 26,000 people that are coming to the library just in 1 month. And we have been able to detect that through the headcounts and also through the system that we are using to monitor how many people come to the library. That includes not only school children, but just ordinary community people that are utilizing the program. Now, within the big umbrella program of Funza for Fun, as I've said, there are a number of activities that we are doing, which obviously are assisting us to promote reading within our different communities. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was it, honorable members from the provinces and the department, and I would like to thank both MECs who are here and the DG, as well as the entire team from provinces and national. We will be interacting with you again in the next coming months, and thank you very much for honoring this meeting. We, as well as Treasury, Mr. Sisi, you are always with us. I know you. Every week we are in these meetings. Thank you and your team for being with us. So you, Honorable MECs and your team, you are free to leave or to stay, because we're still going to finish our business as a committee. But the choice will be yours. Honorable members, we will now deal with the minutes. We've got 4 sets of minutes for all our meetings that were held in May, and the 2 reports that we'd have to adopt before we close. I don't think it will take long. Can the staff quickly circulate the minutes and all? Thank you very much. Yeah, honourable members, I'll just request that we don't leave, so that we need a quorum.